Welcome to Real Hits. I'm Ben Albert of the Real Business Connections Network. Real Hits is where I rebroadcast some of the absolute best podcasts, whether or not they're nationally known, because they provide real value and insights into business and in life. In our book, they are real hits. Full episodes in their entirety. This way, you can gain more value from other podcasters, personalities, and guests. Today, we listen to an episode from the Build Your Business Better podcast, the Build Your Business Better podcast with Andrew Biernat. This episode is entitled Linda Healer Helps Us Explore the Line Between Authentic Sharing to Grow Your Brand and Giving Your Audience TMI or Too Much Info. So this is the Build Your Business Better podcast, Andrew Biernat featuring Linda Healer. I encourage you to subscribe to the Real Business Connections Network if you haven't yet. And when you're finished with that, check out the show notes and subscribe to the Build Your Business Better podcast. Oh yeah, and if you'd like to submit your podcast to be featured on Real Hits, DM me on LinkedIn or email me, ben@balbertmarketing.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Build Your Business Better podcast, where we talk about the art and science of running a successful business. I'm your host, Andrew Biernat.
Welcome, friends. I'm joined today by Linda Healer. Linda is a life coach. She runs Live Inspired Life Coaching, and she also has the Normal Lies podcast. Now, I had a fantastic opportunity to be on the Normal Lies podcast. So, Linda, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Andrew, for having me here today. I'm excited, and I'm also a little scared because I'm not exactly sure what we're going to talk about today, but I'm excited about it.
That's the most fun, because I think our last conversation, for those who might not have tuned in before, on the Normal Lies podcast, Linda's podcast, we got discussing politics, and she was in this kind of phase of like breaking down barriers of things that were taboo to talk about. And so we were able to, I kind of raised my hand. I was like, oh my goodness, yeah, I could talk about politics. And so we ended up doing a whole podcast on it. And we barely even got into like the political scrum of politics. We almost took like the 10,000 foot view of politics, like what's going on? Why is it going on? How is it affecting everybody? And I thought it was just a fantastic and really fun conversation.
Yeah, I thought it was a brilliant conversation, honestly. I enjoyed it, and I loved it because we didn't get down into the weeds. Like you said, it was more of an elevated conversation. And I will tell you that is one of the podcasts that get the most comments. When someone says, hey, I really liked that your take on politics, because that was something that I am not real comfortable talking about, is politics, because it can be very polarizing. And I remember when we first met, I said that to you and you're like, yeah, I would love to have that conversation. I'm like, well, if this guy is crazy enough to say he wants to have that conversation, then let's do it. And I loved the conversation.
Yeah, I've listened to it twice since then, because it really got me thinking. Your commentary and even my commentary, I'm like, oh man, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So I kind of want to do something similar today. And you brought up the idea of maybe kind of diving into the mix of personal and business. And maybe that's our starting point, is so often nowadays a personal brand carries outside of your professional life and into your professional life. It's a weaving, it's a mixing. Things are very different. It's not 1950s anymore, where you kind of go to work and you're your work self, and then you go home and you're your at home self. Everything is kind of coming together. Particularly people that are in positions of influence now, who are podcasters, who are bloggers, who are content creators. We get to know more about them. And that's actually some of the most interesting parts of many of the episodes and of many of the things just following along with people, is understanding the ins and outs of a person and their flaws, shortcomings, and how they still function and still can actually create and build and do amazing things, you know, despite that or because of that.
Yeah, I think it's really important. I was going to say, especially for small business owners and solopreneurs, to really capture the personal side of it, that authentic, vulnerable, real part of it, because I think people connect with that. Because if you're just like a robot, it's hard to connect with somebody like that. But there's also the other piece of it too, is there is a line. So there's a line that, and I don't know what the line is, but there's a line between, whoa, that's a really cool story, and whoa, that's way too much information.
That was too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it depends on the listening audience too, because for some people, it may be totally normal to talk about certain topics. And for other people, it may be like, whoa. You know, I think it ties back into, you know, who your ideal listeners are, who your people are. And I think often, you know, quote, your people, they're a little bit more tolerant of how far you can go with stuff before they start saying, whoa, that was too much.
Yeah, good point. That's a really good point.
I kind of want to talk a little bit about one of the previous episodes that I did. You mentioned my podcast did two podcasts on the show with Ben Albert, who's a mutual friend of ours. And I kind of want to hear some of your thoughts on those episodes. What did that spark for you?
Well, number one, I love the idea of, you talked about generalist versus specialist. And that was something when I became a coach, which this was after being a dental hygienist for many, many years, I became a coach. And when I was branding my business, the person that I was working with, the branding person, said, well, what are you? Are you a business coach or a, you know, relationship coach or a spiritual coach? What are you? And I said, well, I'm a life coach. And they kind of pushed back on that and said, well, but you should be more specialized. You really need to narrow your niche. And this was, gosh, how many years ago? This was like 6 or 7 years ago. And I really fought that. And I said, I don't want to. I want to be more of a generalist. And I know I'm not a business coach. I know I'm not a health coach. But I also have training in relationships and in, you know, the spiritual aspect and just all of those different things of life. And so people will come to me for a certain area of their life if they're having relationship problems or they just aren't happy. And then if I'm not a fit, then I refer them out. If they come for health, you know, health coaching, I know I'm not a health coach, can't do that. Just like I'm not a therapist, I refer out. So I really liked that conversation that you had with Ben about it's okay to be a generalist. And that was the first time I felt validated in my view. So I'm listening to them, I'm going, yeah, I love this.
No, and actually after we had recorded that, I was listening to an audiobook, and the audiobook mentioned one of Aesop's fables, the story of the fox and the hedgehog. And it talked about the fox being kind of more wise, more worldly, and knows how to do many things. The fox can do all kinds of tricks and it has all kinds of tactics. And the hedgehog can do one thing, and it can do that one thing really, really, really well. So that hedgehog is great at rolling up into a ball, but the fox is really great at doing all kinds of different things, solving all kinds of different problems. And the fable really comes down to the difference between knowledge and wisdom is being knowledgeable, being specialized, being hyper-focused in something gives you a lot of depth, a lot of ability. You get to do things really, really, really well in that area. As soon as you step outside of that area, you are outside of your zone. You are in danger, very much so. And looking at a fox, you know, the wisdom type of component, being able to do many things pretty well and having a good understanding of a lot of different areas, definitely lends itself to that. And just for your field, wisdom type of component, because for life coaching, you know, I think you need some of that life wisdom. You need to have experienced some hardship. You need to have had some of those hard times, but you also need to understand people. You need to understand relationships. You need to understand how it fits together with spirituality, with health, with nutrition, because it's not, there's no silos, truly. There really are no silos. And that's where I think as a society, we've started to run into a lot of problems, because it's always niche down, you know, get down deeper. And all these specialties and all these specializations can come up with these amazing breakthroughs in their particular fields. But the amount of crosstalk between fields, the amount of collaboration between these silos oftentimes is minimal. And you can see this in action in, well, we can tie this back to politics. You can see this in action back to the legislature, back to laws that come out. You know, you look at, you know, the Obamacare bill that was passed. I think there was something absurd, like somewhere around 4,000 pages of legislation around healthcare. It was so much astounding information and so much specialty went into it. You know, each little silo of the government and each little silo of professions had their own depth of stuff that they brought to it. And then when they sandwiched all these papers together, what they came up with was not the original intent of the whole package. You know, like one of the biggest things was you're going to be able to keep your current general practitioner. You're going to be able to do X, Y, and Z. All the things are going to stay the same. But once all of these specialties came together and were mushed together kind of haphazardly, number one, no one person understood it all. It was too much. It was just no one could coherently piece together what it was. And then number two, so much of what was initially promised, the original goals of creating this, got lost because of all these different competing specialties and interests and silos that had really gotten in the way of creating that bigger, broader whole.
Yeah. Yeah. that's a really good example. I want to go back just a little bit to the idea of generalists and specialists. I want to make sure that everyone understands there's nothing wrong with being a specialist.
Oh, 100% agree.
Right. So I have a colleague that she specializes in relationships. That's what lights her on fire, is being a relationship coach and helping people find their mate. That's what she loves. So she listened to herself and she became a specialist in that. I listened to me where I said, yeah, I don't really have a specialty. I want to be a life coach. I want to be a generalist. So I think that the message in that is listen to yourself and follow what you feel is right, not even what the experts say, because that could change tomorrow.
It often does. Yes.
Right. Right. But listen to yourself. Yes. Get opinions. It's okay. I'm one that it's like, okay, this is what I'm thinking, but then I'm going to go to some trusted sources and I'm going to check it out. And people that I trust, and 9 times out of 10, they're like, yeah, that sounds really good. But then, you know, I like the people that push back on me and don't agree with me, because then it's like, okay, well, why don't you agree with me? Give me the other side of the coin. And if it's like, okay, well, you know what? They've got some valid points. I think I need to rethink this. Or it's like, you know what? They've got some points, but I really feel like I want to do this anyway. So I think that's important. I think that's important to really listen to yourself.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And it got me, actually, the way you brought that up was reminded me of a recent book that I read. It's by Peter Diamandis. Excuse me. But in the book, he talks about, he's a journalist. And one of the things that he has to do is vet his stories. So he has to go through and research and find out what is it that is true in this expert opinion. So interviews an expert, but then it goes and finds multiple other experts to then verify that this expert is telling the truth or has the full picture. And what he found was he would usually go to, I think it was three sources. He would go to three other people and kind of talk to them and say, hey, is this legit? Is this real? If they all agree, then he goes to press with it. What he found was he wrote an article that kind of slammed somebody or a particular profession, but he made sure it was vetted. He did the same amount of research he normally did, went through, talked to a bunch of other experts, three other experts. They all agreed. They're like, yeah, that makes sense. The article you're writing there. Went to press with it, and it got a lot of backlash for it because it didn't tell the full story that should have been told. And so what he started doing now is he goes to five sources. He interviews someone and then finds five other people who can collaborate or whatever it is on that idea, right? Is this legit? And what he found was usually one out of those four or five people that he's talking to says, well, there's this other thing that you might need to know about. And it's almost like that idea of, four out of five dentists agree that this is great toothpaste. You know what I mean? But like, there's always that one, you know what I mean? But that one often can give you that feedback that can really hone and sharpen an idea or a story or a product or whatever it is that you're creating. And so I kind of want to talk maybe about that a little bit. The idea of those people that are able to give you that different feedback. I guess talk to me a little bit about that in kind of your life.
Well, I will tell you who the ones that I go to for counsel a lot, my family, my husband, number one, my kids. They are two of the smartest people that I know, and they come from a different generation. So they're going to see things from different eyes. Whereas if I go to my husband, he's going to, we've known each other since we were kids and been married for a long time. So, we kind of sometimes think alike, not all the time. We do push back on each other, but our kids see things in a different light. And I love that we have the relationship where they don't have to agree with mom. Mm-hmm. They do have to be tactful and polite when they disagree with me. There's no yelling, but it's like, hey, mom, yeah, okay, I get that. But have you thought of this? And even when they were little, we did that. We asked their opinion on things. And we told them, look, if there was a rule that they didn't agree with, we would say, you know what? You can come and argue your point, but you better have an argument and not just, I don't want to, or you need, that's not fair. It's like, no, explain to us why it isn't fair. And if we agree, we may change. And we did. I mean, there were times when they argued their point. And my dad always said, yeah, your kids should become lawyers because they could really argue a point. And they did that even with their grandparents. They learned how to do that. And I think that's something that's really important is to be able to, I hate the word argue because it implies like butting heads.
Yeah, it implies friction.
Yeah, maybe debate. Maybe mm-hmm. debate, take the other side of the coin or the topic that you're talking about and speak about it and do it in a non-confrontational manner so that you can actually have a discussion. So when someone comes to me, like if my kids come to me or I go to them and we say, let's have this conversation, it's like, well, this is what I'm thinking. I'll say, yeah, I hear that. And this is what I'm thinking. So it's so cool because we don't know where we're going to end up. That's the other thing too, is if we already know how the conversation is going to go, if I'm not open to hearing what they have to say, I'm not going to ask them. Like if I've already made up my mind, I'm not going to ask for their opinion. I might say, hey, this is what I'm going to do. And they'll go, okay, okay. Are you open to some feedback? And I might say, yeah. And then they might get it. And I will tell you that, my kids are very successful in the business world. And mm-hmm. I think it's because of that, because they've learned how to bring things to the powers that be and have that conversation and not make it confrontational, but also stand their ground.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's what I believe. Here's what I think. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we may disagree at the end of the day, we may still stick with what we're doing, but here's another option. Here's another idea. And there's so much tact that goes into that. There's so much soft skills, if you will, that are necessary to deal with conflict like that. Because it's often so easy to fall into the normal, the routine, the regular, that innovators and people that enjoy change or people that kind of are the front line on certain things experience more of what's actually happening. And they may say, you know, I think there's a better way. I think there's other ways to do it. And they may not have the full picture either, just like us, as we're going about our lives, making our decisions, we may not have the full picture as we're trying to do things. And so as we say, hey, you know, this could be better if we did this, but then someone drops the other puzzle piece and we say, oh, that's why this is happening this way. And I should keep doing it my way. But then the reverse is often true too, is there is no other puzzle piece. It's just empty, you know? And it's like, okay, we got this blank canvas now and I can write this the way that I want to. And the way you were talking about, you know, raising your kids, this reminded me of a story about my dad. My dad, every time I would ask him something, you know, Dad, why is the sky blue? Dad, why is this? Why that? You know, his first answer, like I think still to this day, is always wrong. He would always give me the wrong answer first, but he would try and make it seem right. He's like, oh, well, the sky's blue because it's reflecting off the ocean. And I'd be like, you know, and then he'd like, look at me, you know what I mean? And then so I had to like evaluate, you know, is that the reason, or is that just something that he made up? And so I think that's important too, to, as an observer and as a learner, to be understanding that, okay, the first thing that you're hearing may not be everything. It may not be the truth. It may not be all that is most helpful. And so I think, you know, multiple forms of feedback, like we've been talking about, having those people that you can bounce these ideas off of are going to be good. But then also understanding that the ideas that you get back from those people may have their own biases or their own issues or ties that come in with them. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So that's, I think that, yeah, your dad was, I think he was trying to create critical thinking. Like you could see that he was going, I wonder how this is going to land with Andrew. Is he going to just take what I say, lock, stock, and barrel? Because your dad is, you know, he's the adult, he's the authority. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, we've gotten into an age where there's so much information.
And misinformation.
And misinformation. And so we have to be very, very careful where we get our information and make sure that it comes from a reliable source. The problem is that, I don't know how to put this, that there are people out there that know how to feed on people's fears. Mm-hmm. And feed into this paranoia that is going on. And I'm not saying that there aren't things that we should be scared of, you know, conspiracies and things like that, and things that are going on that we don't know about. But to go down that rabbit hole and to be so fixated on, oh my gosh, some of the rumors that, and personally, I think that they're crazy. Some of the rumors that people believe, it's mm-hmm. like, are you out of your mind? I don't get that. But again, I don't know. I guess they don't want to go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think critical thinking is something that we do have to learn. And to be able to try and tell the truth from something that someone made up.
This is kind of spurring a thought that I have too. The idea of kind of this bigger game that's at play, the broader objectives that people are after and organizations pursue. And I think often when we're too siloed, when we're too focused on one thing, to kind of tie this back into the idea of, you know, being hyper-focused in one area or being kind of broad and more general, I think what can start to happen is as we get more focused, as we get more dialed into a certain area, we can start to develop certain biases around certain things. And sometimes those biases can be a blinder for us. We may not be aware of what's going on. On the flip side, though, there are other people in this world, and they have their own biases and experiences that they're coming to the table with. And one thing that I always try and remember, especially when I have like a really negative reaction or a strong emotional response from someone that I'm talking to, is it's often someone else. You know, I'm talking with Linda, you know, we're talking about something simple, and then Linda just, you know, boom, you just go off, right? And you just go on this 10-minute tangent talking about something. You know, I start to realize, okay, it wasn't me that caused that blow up. There's some right. sort of damage. There's some sort of issue. There's some sort of hurt. There's some sort of something else back there that has happened for this person. And they're bringing that to this discussion. And this open wound just got flipped and triggered and is now open and is now blown up all over the place. And, you know, whether it is a blow up or an extreme episode, or whether it's more subtle, whether it is an opinion that's not actually helpful, or whether it is some advice that you never asked for that seems like it's helpful, but actually at the end of the day, it's not going to be helpful for me. You know, often our friends and family are going to tell us things that are in their best interest, right? Often entrepreneurs, as they're getting started and as they're getting going, friends and family are the last people they want to talk to about business, because they're going to hear the biases that their friends and family are bringing. Safety, security. Are you sure? That sounds like a bad idea. I don't know. Whereas what that entrepreneur maybe needs to hear is go for it. Take the chance. Get out there. Do it. You know, often the biases that people bring to the table and the biases that are present in media, that are present in companies, right? We all, and each organization brings these things to the table, which are self-focused or personal focused or within that own sphere of influence. And I think to really navigate all of this well, it's important to do our best to understand what biases or what background each organization and each person is bringing to the table. Because once you can understand that, then you can understand why they're doing what they're doing.
Yes. Yeah, there's so much there. Okay. So, the thing about our family and friends is they love us, right? They want us to be happy. They want us to be safe and secure. So they aren't always the best people to go to for advice. The other piece that I think ties in with this, I love it when you said that strong emotional response and that reaction, that triggers something in us. So yes, someone is yelling at you or you've triggered something, that's not about you. It's really hard not to take that personally. Mm-hmm. And so this is where, especially in our relationships. So I love the term. So I'm going to take a breath here. The term work-life balance. I cannot stand that term.
Yes, we're on the same page, Linda. We're on the same page.
It drives me crazy because it implies that work and life are separate and you have to figure out how to balance the two and you can never do it. It's never going to be balanced. Well, I met a coach and she was actually on my podcast and she talked about work-life blend. And that's, if you want to learn more about that, you can listen to the podcast. But what this conversation is making me think of is, you know, you're talking about personal growth and you're talking about work. So instead of trying to balance your personal growth with work, I'm talking about personal growth and work blending. There is so much that we can learn about ourselves if we are open to it because of the circumstances and the relationships that we are dealing with at work. So that coworker or that boss or that manager that you can't stand, that person is your greatest teacher. And you can learn so much. Because honestly, it's not about them. It's about you and what they trigger in you.
Yes. Oh my goodness. So this is actually, we're getting real personal now. This makes me think about my marriage. So my wife and I are very different personalities. So we've gone through and kind of studied up on different personality tests and kind of learned a lot about that. And, you know, it's always funny to kind of listening to their, especially the ones that can compare two personalities together, you know, how they would operate together. We think very, very differently. And she very much initially thinks critically about things like, oh, where's the danger? Where's the risk? Where's everything else? And I very much think the opposite. I'm like, everything's going to be amazing. The future's going to be so cool. You know, and so she's thinking about risk and danger. And I'm more thinking about possibility and opportunity. And so, you know, on the front of it, it looks like, wow, what a terrible match of people. Like you mentioned, she's one of my greatest teachers. Is yeah. I see so much opportunity. I see so much possibility. I get so excited. And she helps to ground that a little bit, sometimes frustratingly so, but not often. And she helps to, okay, well, did you think about this? Like, hey, I've noticed this pattern where you get really hyped about something and then you don't actually go through with it all the way. You know, let's make sure that this is really the thing before we go all in on it. So she's able to kind of temper some of that opportunity excitement that I have. And again, I learned so much because she is so different and because she thinks so differently.
Yes. And that's in relationships, that's what happens. And I'm sure that you bring something to her that helps her grow as well. That is what creates a great relationship. I have to tell you this story. So when I went through coach training now, 11 years ago, and I say I was a different person back then, but what I think is I'm still the same person, but the layers of fear and self-doubt and that voice in my head have just been peeled away. And so I'm just more of who I am. But back then, I was little Linda from Avon, New York, just, you know, from a town that has more cows than people. And I went to this coach training program in New York City. I flew to New York City one weekend every month. We had, you know, training, and it was a year-long program. It changed my life. And then after that, I was invited to come back on their leadership team to help train and mentor new coaches. And one thing that they do is they have us then, as graduates of the program, coach the new trainees. And they assign us who we're going to coach. We don't get to choose. And so I will never forget the first weekend that we go in and we're meeting the trainees, and then we're going to get our assignments at the end of the weekend who we're going to coach. And there was one woman, she was, you know, 6 foot tall, looked like a model. And you can't see me, but I'm 5 foot two. we're the exact opposite. She was an executive for a major company. And again, here is little Linda, who is just starting her coach training after being a dental hygienist for 20 years, you know? So, and then this is what's going through my head. And I look at her and I'm so intimidated by her. And I looked at the rest of the class. I said, oh God, please, anybody but her, anybody but her. Well, guess what? She was saying the same thing about me because she's looking at all the mentor coaches. And so at the end of the weekend, we're standing up front and they had all the mentor coaches standing up front and they said, okay, so-and-so, you're going to be coaching with this. And Linda, you're going to be coaching with her. And my heart just sunk into my stomach and I could just see the look on her face. Like, she was not happy. And so that was the end of the weekend. And I'm getting ready to fly back to Rochester. And I go up to her and I'm like, okay, we need to exchange information because we've got to set up our next conversation. And she was right over with the leaders of the program trying to get me fired as her coach already. and oh my gosh, I am just mortified, right? I am totally mortified. So then, you know, we go through a month and I'm trying to get her. She's resisting setting up a time. She doesn't show up. And finally, she got it. The leaders told her, look, if you want to stay in the program, you are going to have Linda as your coach. And so she came to our calls. She was not happy. She resisted the coaching. And then it got to the point where she got so angry with me. And when she got angry with me, I froze. I did not handle anger. And she, one time, I'll never forget this. We're on a coaching call. And I said something or asked a question that she thought was stupid. She got so angry with me, she yelled at me and hung up the phone. I immediately burst into tears. I'm like, I don't know what to do. So I called my coach, and he just happened to be one of the leaders of our program. So he knew her, he knew our relationship, and knew we were struggling. And he said to me, he goes, because I'm like, I think you need to let, you know, reassign her. And he said to me, he goes, Linda, if you stick with this, there is a huge breakthrough, not just for her, but for you as well. And he said, because this is not about you, or excuse me, this is not about her. This is about you. And he said, you are taking her anger so personally. We need to talk about what you make anger mean. And so then I was able to work with him and be with my anger, so that when she was pulling that stuff on me, whatever she pulled out, I could say, you seem angry right now. What's going on? So I was able to kind of say, this is not about me. I'm not going to take this personally, but reflect it back to her. And I will tell you, the end of that story is about, you know, probably 4 or 5 months in, she started to do this turnaround. And by the end of the year, she ended up hiring me as her coach out of the program. And she, to this day, she says our relationship changed her life because I didn't give up on her.
There's a lot of depth right there.
Yeah. It's almost and like, she changed my life too.
Yeah.
It was mutual. It was absolutely mutual. Our relationship changed both of our lives.
It's almost like a sibling. You're assigned a sibling. You know, this is who you're with, whether you like them or not. And sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. And it's very, very interesting. I really appreciate that within a coaching program, that they had the fortitude to stand by that decision, and that they had the guts to even put you guys together, knowing that it was probably going to be quite a clash. I'd be very curious actually what some of those discussions were like for many of those pairings, you know what I mean? How they decided on it. But I think that's so interesting that she pushed back so hard. And it's especially, you know, as someone that's attempting to coach or attempting to be a professional, when someone does not want to work with you, it's a horrible experience.
Yeah.
So I in the personal training field, I've worked with people that, you know, are there, someone pays for their membership, you know, and then they come and then they kind of show up a little bit. Then they get really frustrated because what they're doing doesn't meet their expectations. But then, you know, as I start to dig deeper and really unearth a lot more of that, you know, some of their expectations are just way off base, and some of the motivations for them being there are really just toxic. And it just turns into this whole big mess. Once in a while, it could turn out really, really great. But a lot of times it just ends up going down in flames. So I guess, talk to me a little bit more about how you made sure it didn't go down in flames. How did you engage her? How did you connect with her?
Yeah, I did my work. I mean, I really did my work. And, you know, as you think about different relationships, and again, this can go back to who you work with. If you think about the relationships that you struggle with, it really isn't about the other person. It's about us. They're triggering something in us that, you know, we probably can't be within ourselves. With her, it was anger triggered me. I couldn't be with anger. I couldn't be with someone who was angry with me because of my personal history. The other piece of this too, it's not just at work. So yes, we're talking about business, but our kids too. our kids can be our greatest teachers because, and I get this a lot, and I'm doing a little class, and I created this, you know, a coach approach to parenting. And one of the things I talk about is guilt. And sometimes moms especially feel guilty because they don't like their kids all the time. It's like, you don't have to like your kids. They know how to push our buttons, but we can use that as a pointer to go, ooh, there's a part of me that, okay, I need to investigate over here, because that's, we can not make it. If we make it about them, then we're going to limit the people that we are around. I mean, I will tell you, as networking, okay, networking, we have to do it. So I will tell you, there's a woman that when I was networking, and again, I'm very quiet, very petite. This woman, she was outspoken and loud, and I did not like her, And I finally got to the point where it's like, you know what? I need to go over there and I need to engage in a conversation with her. And so I had to put all of my stuff aside. So my stuff was, she's too much. Like, and I had her as arrogant, self-centered, self-promoting, and I labeled her. And it's like, okay, well, that's a part of me that I can't be with. And so, but I forced myself to get to know her and found out she's a lovely person and so generous. And yes, she is loud and she can be pushy, but I got to know her and say, you know what? Maybe I need to be a little more assertive, and maybe I can learn from her how to be more assertive. And so I think that that's also what we need to do, is pull from these people what we really admire. And instead of making it bad, what can we learn from them?
Yeah. Oh, man. So this gets me thinking about another conversation I had with a guy named Kevin Rustici. And
I love Kevin. Yeah, yes. Kevin.
Yeah. So for those who haven't heard of Kevin Rustici, he was on one of my previous shows. He's all over the place, but he's really deep in the HR world and as far as data and understanding people. And
check him out on LinkedIn. You need to check him out on LinkedIn.
He's great. He's got a lot of great content, a lot of great contacts. He's a good person to know.
Yes.
So he and I got talking for a little bit. And one of the things that he said to me as we were finishing up our call was, he said, I see you as a mentor and I appreciate you sharing with me. And to me, that like blew me away. I was like, okay, I feel like this guy's like light years ahead of whatever I'm up to. But that idea of seeing everyone that you're interacting with as a potential mentor-mentee relationship that can really go both ways if the people are open-minded about it, really kind of broadens your scope as far as who you can learn from. Instead of trying to just, you know, worship at the altars of these, you know, giant big name people, understand that there's so much knowledge, there's so much wisdom, and there's so many good little gems out there just with the people right around you, with your peers, with your friends, with the people that are a step ahead, a step behind, 10 steps behind, doesn't matter. Those people in your world can be your mentors. And it doesn't have to be a formal special relationship. You know, it can just be going into that conversation and going into any conversation with that open mind and being able to say, you know what, I'm feeling repelled, or I'm noticing that my reaction is this. And then kind of digging into that reaction a little bit. Well, why is it, you know, why is it that this certain personality type just really bothers me? You know, like for me, I noticed that people that, you know, I call them stick in the mud kind of people. They're like, these are the rules. This is the way that we're supposed to do things. You know, this is, you know, I'm very much a, well, the rules are flexible. Let's try this. You know, that's very much my personality. And so, you know, I found that, you know, those people that tend to adhere really strongly to rules really frustrate me. And, you know, I've had to do my personal work to really understand that it's not them. It's me that has the issue. It's me that has this problem. And it's me that is creating a problem where maybe there doesn't need to be one.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. So on that, the other thing I want to say is that doesn't necessarily mean we have to be friends with everyone. We do get to choose. Well, most of the time, I mean, there are relationships we and work and family that we have to deal with, but that doesn't mean that you have to run toward that person that irritates you. I'm not saying that, but if you want some personal growth, you can. So this kind of, I think this brings it almost full circle back to the beginning of our conversation. When we were talking about your conversation with Ben Albert, because we're talking about personal growth. You were talking about personal growth. And I believe that personal growth can happen everywhere in all aspects of our life. It's not, oh, I'm going to go and meditate and, you know, read these spiritual books or whatever to grow personally. And then I'm going to go to work. It's like, no, it doesn't. We can, again, that blending the two, because what, and this came up as I was listening to that podcast, is that if we don't do our personal growth, and I want your opinion on this, if we don't do that personal growth, then what becomes our God? Like, what becomes our purpose and our passion? Is it money? If we're so focused on money, or if we're so busy, everybody's busy, that they don't have time to just be present and figure out what is going on over here. It creates disconnection, and it creates a lot of areas of the world that we have right now. I believe. So, and then it leads to numbing ourselves, right? With alcohol, drugs, busyness. If we don't really know our passion and our purpose, if we're just, you know, trying to make it through the day, who wants to live that way?
So, yeah.
I don't know.
No, I agree. I think the, you know, talk about numbing behaviors, the idea of that life is just so challenging that you're just, you know, I need my space. I need my break. I'm going to go, you know, I'm going to go have a beverage, or I got to go watch my TV, or I got to whatever. I had a period of time in my life where I wasn't engaged. I wasn't growing, and I wasn't tackling the issues in my personal self that I needed to. And I suffered horrendously for it. I was in a job that did not match me. I was in sales, which I loved, but I was selling something that I hated and didn't really enjoy. And so it was like, I felt like in the product that I was pitching and selling, that like I'm slowly killing people. You know, I was like, ugh, this is horrible. So I had that feeling at work all the time. And then I come home and I had to try and numb that out. And so I looked at the behaviors I was engaged in, and outside of work, 90%+ of what I did was just trying to numb out the whatever I was feeling. And then I go back into work a hot mess and try and go through all that. No surprise, I wasn't long for that job. But that time in my life, I can just remember was just so dark, was just so sad, so depressing, so hard, so miserable. And it wasn't until, you know, I got number one counseling, but had that outside point of view that could say, okay, well, here's something that you think is true. Is it actually true? You know, having some of these outside perspectives that can come in and pull you out of your own mindset and say, here's the frame you've been looking through, right? But it actually isn't the same frame that I see the world through, or that hardly anybody else over here sees the world through. And you can start to understand that, like, okay, so I'm coming into these things with my frame, with my bias, and I'm trying to make everything fit, and nothing was fitting, nothing was working. And so I had to come back out and I had to change my frame. I had to change my perspective. I had to change some of my fundamental beliefs, what I really, really thought about the world, about God, about my relationship with people, about everything. I had to reshape that and remold that. And through that process, I was able to, number one, go through a tremendous amount of self-discovery, self-learning and knowledge. But number two, I was able to become a better person. more frequently be more present, be able to notice when I'm pursuing numbing behaviors. And friends that are listening, numbing behaviors come in many forms, many shapes, many sizes. Mm-hmm. For some people, it may be shopping. For some people, it may be beverages. For other people, it's TV, video games. Anything that is distracting you from the truth of reality, that is social media scrolling, right? These are escapes. These are pulling us out of reality into an alternate form of reality. We're building this other alternate reality that we get to live in and enjoy for a moment. And then we got to come back at some point to where we are now. And so I would encourage people listening that if you're in that spot where you're noticing you have a lot of these numbing type behaviors, start to label them, start to name the numbing behaviors that you have, and then notice how much time you're spending in them. Because what's probably happening is the more time you're spending in numbing behaviors, the more likely it is that there's some unresolved conflict or there's some opportunity for growth that you're avoiding or not deeply experiencing like you need to.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, when we're usually numbing some feelings, right? So if we're numbing anger or sadness or overwhelm or frustration, we don't just numb that. We numb all of our emotions. So, and this comes right from research, Dr. Brené Brown, if you're not familiar with her research on shame and vulnerability, then you need to look her up because her research says when you numb one emotion, you numb them all. So that means you're not going to be able to experience joy or peace or happiness or, you know, those quote, positive emotions. I think that's another thing too, is that we have created bad emotions and good emotions. We don't want to feel the bad emotions. We only want to feel the good emotions. So that's, again, that's where we reach for, you know, medication, because that will help us, we'll medicate ourselves. So I feel good because I'm feeling sad. Well, maybe you need to feel sad. You know, maybe your dog died or your best friend, you know, you lost your best friend or something happened. Maybe you need to be sad and experience it. And I think people think that they're going to die if it happens. It's actually a beautiful thing to experience each of our emotions. And then remember with gratitude what that experience has given you. So I think that's really important too. And the other thing that came up when you were talking, Andrew, when you said you were out of integrity with your values, and that caused some upset and turmoil. And that's what created you with the numbing and all of that process. And then what I love is you realized that you couldn't do it on your own, that you needed someone else, a therapist, to come in and reflect back or just be with you that, you know what, Andrew, it's okay what you're feeling. I think a lot of us just want that validation that we're okay, that it's okay to be angry that this happened or that happened. And the other piece of it too, I think it's even deeper than that. I think we just need to be validated that we are okay and that we are enough. And if we didn't get that from a parent, you know, chances are they didn't get that from their parents. So again, it's that circle, and it just continues on. Then I think as a coach, that I give that a lot. We do a lot of acknowledgement. I do a lot of acknowledgement with my clients because I really feel like we are craving acknowledgement for who we are in the world, not just our doings, but who we're being in the world when we're doing those things. Because you can give to charity and have it be a doing and have it, the being of that was like, look at me, look at what a great person I am. Or it can be, wow, I really want to help people. So, you know, it really depends. I'm sorry, I'm talking way too much.
I love that. There's so many good threads here.
Yes. So anyway, I'll let you talk now.
Oh man. So, I mean, just the human doing versus human being,
yes.
Right? It's so easy to fall into human doing. I do this, I do that, or that. And that's where busyness comes in. That's where numbing comes in.
Yes.
And that ties right back. And, you know, you mentioned the idea of Brené Brown and a lot of her research and her personal work, right? And she's actually a great case in point about this exact topic that we're on, business and personal, professional, personal development, all of it swirling together. Because as she writes these books, as she does this research, guess what? She's having personal and profound breakthroughs as well. And so she shares some of her stories, some of her family of origin. She talks about some of the issues that she's gone through and she's learned from. And we see that, and we see the vulnerability. We see the real, how true and raw and open she is. And I think being able to share and be vulnerable with purpose is really what separates the TMI from, wow, that was powerful. Because just sharing something that's like really yucky, that doesn't tie back to anything or go anywhere, starts to feel TMI. It feels like too much, right? You went a little far there. But if you're able to bring that darkness out and you can tie that into a beautiful future or a restoration or a positive change, or even just some forward step, doesn't even have to be major, it starts to feel more like authenticity, like vulnerability, like connection. And I want to make kind of one final point. The idea of that numbing behavior, right? You when you numb one feeling, you start to numb all of them. I first heard that idea at a conference. I had gone a day early to this conference and paid a little extra to go. And the first 20 minutes of this presentation, this one idea has given me the most value of any conference I've ever been to. Because of that, it was that one slide on a slideshow at that right time that just struck and resonated with me at the time and still does today. And on that slide was a picture of a pendulum. And the woman talking was saying, you need to let the pendulum of your life swing. You need to let it open up. And she talked about the idea very similar to this numbing concept, where if you start playing small with that pendulum, if that pendulum has a very narrow range of motion, right, you're going to have a narrow range of outcomes. You're not going to have the highest of highs, right? Or if you want the highest of highs, you need to be ready, because you're going to open yourself up to the lowest of lows, right? If you get married, if you have kids, you buy a house, you open yourself up to tragedy, to devastation, to hardship. In doing those things, if you start a business, if you create something, if you put yourself out there, right, that high of highs of making and being a part of something beautiful opens you up to that dark side of that beautiful being taken away or ruined or something negative happening. And so for me, that idea of, wow, I've been playing small for a long time, because it wasn't that I didn't want the big emotions, and it wasn't that I didn't want those amazing feelings and cool stuff to be happening in my life. It was that I was worried about the bad stuff that might happen. And that was keeping me small. And I think that's where a lot of people are. And so my encouragement as people are listening is, let that pendulum swing. You know, if you're really gunning for it, open it up. You know, you're going to experience so much of that positive. You know, you're going to grab that pendulum, you're going to lift it up high. And yes, now it's got momentum, and there will be backswings. There will be times where it flips from one side to the other, where you go from the ultimate high of high and you have those ultimate low of lows. But that is part of the human experience. That is part of life. And that is a part of why we're here. And I think what's important too is finding meaning in that, finding a point. Why did this crap happen? Why did I have to go through this? And I look at my previous experience at that company I didn't like, where it just wasn't a match, and I could complain about it. I could whine about it. I could say, I didn't do enough or this or that. But really, truly, what it's done for me is it's given me perspective. It's given me opportunity. And in that time in my life, I had a lot of hardship. And you mentioned the idea of, like, I sought out counseling. I didn't, actually. My brother recommended it. He's like, hey, go to this leadership counseling. And the guy did leadership counseling as well as actual personal counseling. And so I went there for leadership counseling, filled out his full questionnaire. I was like, I'll be totally honest, put everything on there. And then he's looking through it. And then he's like, hey, would you mind if we just transition to personal counseling? I think there may, you may get more benefit out of it. I was like, yeah, well, whatever. And so that kind of, that was how I got into actually seeing a counselor and getting the actual help that I needed.
So, whatever works.
Exactly. Right. I wasn't brave enough at the time to raise my hand. You know what I mean? I wasn't in a position where I was seeking it out. But to tie everything up, those people that offer those different opinions, people that can give you these different perspectives, they are going to be the ones that help us grow, that challenge us, that can help change us.
Yes. Yes. And I know we have to wrap up here, but again, you say something that sparks something in me and vice versa. This is the way our conversations are. I love this, but you know, it's so interesting because when we talk about emotions, so a lot of us are on the emotional roller coaster, like, oh, I'm happy. Oh, I'm sad. Oh, this good thing happened. Yay. I'm happy. Oh, this terrible thing happened. I'm sad. Well, I say my work as a coach and as a human being, my work is to be more even keel, where it's instead of judging everything as good and bad, it just is. So I create suffering for myself if I say, ooh, this is bad. And then I'm sad and I suffer and I like resist it. But if I'm just with it, like I said, just be sad, be angry, be with what shows up, and be with when you're happy, be happy, be there right then and there, be here now. And so the goal of my work as a coach and as a human being is to have, instead of being on that roller coaster of up and down, but just be. It's kind of like you think of a lake and underneath everything, it's just calm. Like the lake is calm. Even when there's a storm on the surface of the lake, you go down deep and there's a calmness. So my goal is to have that foundation and that depth of knowing that it's all going to be okay. This too shall pass. And I can be with the storm that's there, but I can not make it so significant. And I can keep that inner peace. And I don't know if that makes sense. And then the other thing that you said is finding meaning. And this I have learned because I used to be able to like, okay, this, you know, this had to happen for a reason. What's the reason? And I had to figure it out. And what I realized as I'm working with clients is that they were doing that too. And they were like, but I don't understand why this happened. Why did this happen? And we would get stuck in why. And finally, I remember with one client, I mean, she kept coming back with the same thing. And I've been doing some journaling. I've been trying to figure it out. And we've been stuck on this why. And finally, I just said, I don't care why. I don't care. Why do we care? Why? We may never know why. Okay. And where do we go from here? If we don't know why, you may never figure it out. Just what's the next right thing to do in front of your nose? So that's another thing too, that our, you know, our ego or our survival mechanism can get us stuck in why. It wants us to stay small and stay comfortable inside of our comfort zone. And so yes, you can look for a meaning, you know, go ahead if that makes you feel good, but don't get stuck in why.
Oh, I love that. And the flip side of the perspective too is, you know, when you're looking for that why, you may not know why in that moment. You may not know why for 5 years. You may not know why your entire life.
Exactly.
You don't really know. If you can find meaning, search for it. Go for it. Exactly. But don't spend your life away trying to find the reason. Because eventually, you know, your family of origin was what it was. It's done and happened, right? Your problems that you're facing now, they're there. They're not going anywhere, right? So trying to analyze and overcomplicate, you know, can be a fun little adventure. But if it's not producing the fruit that you want, if it's not giving you what you're actually after, then you need to start shaking a different tree. You need to start finding something else that's going to be providing those things that are going to be meaningful, those answers that are going to be useful.
100%.
Love it, Linda. Linda, I feel like we need to do another episode at some point because we've both got so much more that we want to talk about. So let's go into just kind of a final wrap up. Do you have anything else you want to share as kind of closing thoughts?
Oh my gosh. I think we shared a lot. I think probably people's brains are about to explode. But yeah, no, I just want to say, yeah, I think that you should next, you come back on my podcast and we'll talk about something else because we'll talk about some lies and stuff like that. So, you know, I am just really, thank you so much for allowing me to be here and being on this adventure of not knowing where we were going. And I love that. Let me leave with this. I have this in my office. It says, when you release expectations, you are free to enjoy things for what they are instead of what you think they should be. And that's what we did today. We released expectations and this is what we created. And I love it. It's so fun and exciting. So thank you. Thank you for the opportunity and the experience.
So if people want to get in touch with you, if people want coaching from you, or people just would like to have a conversation like this with you, how can they get in touch with you?
You can go to my website. It's liveinspiredlifecoaching.com. There's all sorts of information there. You can schedule a conversation with me from there. You can contact me through there. There's also a link to my podcast if you want to, you know, experience that and experience Andrew being interviewed. I would highly recommend that, checking that out. Definitely.
Awesome. Linda, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Build Your Business Better podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and hit the bell so you'll be notified every Thursday when a new episode drops.